Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. This is the word of the Lord. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound the multitude came together and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. They were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, the parts of Libya, belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others laughing said, "They are filled with new wine." And Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." The word of the Lord. In the Institutes of Eclectic Theology, which is as boring as it sounds, Francis Turretin, a Reformed theologian, writes something truly wondrous about the Church. He calls it the primary work the most holy Trinity. The Church is the primary work of God, the primary work of the Father and of the Son and of the Spirit. And if that sounds strange to your ear, consider what other work of God might contend with it for primacy of place. What other work has been the object of the Father's love from all eternity? For what other work has the Son given his life? To what other work has been given the fullness of his Spirit? Truly, the Church is the primary work of the Most Holy Trinity. Of all the works of God, the Church lies closest to his heart. Such is the communion that we have with him. United to the Son, made one with his flesh, we are united to the Godhead. And filled with his Spirit, we are drawn into the life and love and joy of the Trinity. We do not become God. We remain and always will be the work of God. But we enjoy a communion with him that no other creature will ever know. As the bride knows communion with her Lord in a way that is known to no other, so the Church knows communion with God in a way that is known to no other, save God himself, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Glory is this, into which even angels long to look. The Church is the primary work of the Most Holy Trinity. It has become the house of his glory, the place of his rest, and the fellowship of his love. It is ours by grace. Grace without measure. Grace without end. The heart knows its own bitterness, and no stranger shares its joy. Strangers. For Christ has made us to know the bitterness of his sufferings, that we might also know the joy of his heart. And it is the joy of his heart that we see on the day of Pentecost. We see the joy of his heart as the resurrected Christ pours out his Spirit to rest upon his people. And in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, the apostle Peter announces this to be the fulfillment of what had been uttered through the prophet Joel concerning the last days before the day of the Lord, when the Lord would pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. And then he says, verse 21, it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The time has come. The time is now. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But what does it mean to be saved? What is this salvation that has come? What is this salvation that is given? Certainly, we are to understand that those who call upon the name of the Lord are being saved from something. For these last days precede the coming of what? They precede the coming of the day of the Lord, a great and awesome day. What is that day? It is a day of judgment. The day of the Lord is a day of judgment. It is a day of wrath. That is what we are saved from. To be saved by the Lord is to be saved from the wrath of God. To be saved by the Lord is to be saved from the guilt and corruption of sin. It is to be saved from the wickedness of man, from the sorrows of this world, the bitterness of death. Salvation is great. But we do not yet know its fullness. For we cannot know the fullness of it if we only know from what we have been saved. To this salvation belongs not only our being saved from something, but also our being saved to something. And so we must know not only from what we have been saved, but also to what we have been saved. To what then have we been saved? To the Lord himself. Consider what David says in Psalm 27 when he writes, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." Lord is my salvation. What does this mean? The Lord is my salvation. The Lord is my salvation not only because he is the means by which one is saved. Lord is my salvation because he is the end for which one is saved. The Lord is my salvation. To have salvation is to have Him. Is this not what we find on the day of Pentecost? As we see on that day, the Spirit being given to the church, we are beholding her salvation. Those who were gathered to the church, as it was filled with the Spirit, they were not only hearing about the mighty works of God, they were beholding the mighty works of God. They were beholding the primary work of God. As the Lord gives Himself to His people. And we ought not pass over what those who mocked said, what they said of what they saw. They are filled with new wine. Men who said this meant to mock the work of God. But wisdom is made known even in the midst of fools. And as we consider what they said, we may find something significant in the words, even of their mocking. Something true, but not in the way they meant it. For Peter surely denies it, assuring them that these people were not drunk. So we might find it strange, the reason he gives, since it was too early in the morning. But if they were not drunk, what is this truth that may be found in these words of mocking? Remember what Peter says. That those who were there were witnessing the fulfillment of what had been spoken by the prophet Joel concerning the last days and the pouring out of the Spirit upon all flesh. These words come from Joel chapter 2, verse 28 through the first half of verse 32. But listen to what Joel then goes on to say in the second half of verse 32. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be those who escape, as the Lord has said, and among the survivors shall be those whom the Lord calls. And in Joel chapter 3, Zion and Jerusalem are mentioned again. Joel chapter 3, verse 16. The Lord roars from Zion and utters His voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth quake. But the Lord is a refuge to His people and a stronghold to the people of Israel. Verse 17. So you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who dwells in Zion, my holy mountain, and Jerusalem shall be holy. In Joel chapter 3, we hear the roaring of the Lord from Zion. We hear the uttering of his voice from Jerusalem. We hear of the shaking of heaven and earth. We hear of his coming to dwell upon his holy mountain. Even as we find that Joel chapter 2 is fulfilled on the day of Pentecost, we may see that Joel chapter 3 is fulfilled as well. For what we find in Joel chapter 3, we also find in Acts chapter 2. For in Acts chapter 2, where is the church gathered? She is gathered on Zion. She is gathered in Jerusalem. The roaring of the Lord was heard as a mighty rushing wind. The house where they are is shaken. And he utters his voice in the midst of his people, as he makes them the place of his rest, as he makes them the place of his dwelling. What does this have to do with the words of those who mocked God's mighty word? We find it in the very next verse of Joel. Joel chapter 3. Verse 18. And in that day, the mountains shall drip sweet wine, and the fountain shall come forth from the house of the Lord. In Joel chapter 3, the joy of the Lord dwelling in the midst of his people is seen as the mountains flowing with wine. And so we may indeed compare the joy of the church in Acts chapter 2 with the joy of those who drink from that flowing stream. But this joy is greater than the joy of those who are filled with wine. It is like that joy, but greater. It is the joy of those who are filled with the Spirit. It is a joy without measure. It is gladness of heart without end. Which brings us again to the question of this salvation, of what we have been saved for, of what we have been saved to. As the Spirit of the Lord rested upon the church, and as they were filled with the joy of him,
those who were drawn to them.
We found the Lord become our salvation. Not only as the source of that salvation, not only as the means of that salvation, but also as its end. The Lord is the source and means and end of our salvation. The end of our salvation is this: the Lord dwelling with his people. Not in a temple made with human hands, but in the church, a house made without hands. Be saved by the Lord. Is to be brought into the church. The primary work of the most holy eternity. It is in the church that we find the end of our salvation. The Lord himself, hidden in the Son, through the Holy Spirit. As on the day of Pentecost, to this mountain all the nations shall come and be gathered. Even here, the Lord opens the door to his garden, lifts the latch of his chamber, draws them into the joy of his fellowship, to the safety of his presence, the love of his heart, the love of the Father, the love of the Son, love of the Spirit. The day of Pentecost has come. Let us then call upon the name of the Lord and hear the light of his love, that we may say forevermore, the Lord is my light, the Lord is my joy, the Lord is my strength, the Lord is my song, the Lord is my salvation.